Plaxico Star Theater. The more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast welcome you to an hour of mirth and melody with our star comedian Fred Allen, Kenny Baker and Portland Hoffa, our guest Mr. Norman Gray, the electric shaver tester, the Martins and Al Goodman's orchestra. It's Texaco time.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you that Wednesday night merrymaker.
Come on, make it fast, Jimmy.
Tickler of America's funny bone.
We've got a long show, Jimmy.
Everybody's favorite.
Now, just a minute, Mr. Wallington. All right, come in.
Pardon me, brother, I gotta test this mic. 1, 2, 3, woof, woof, hello, Max. 1, 2, 3, woof, woof, hello, Max.
Now, just a minute, mister. We're on the air here.
Don't be too sure, bud. That's what I'm here to find out. 1, 2, 3, woof, woof, hello, Max.
Say, what is... Who are you?
Look, pal, I happen to be assistant chief technician of this network.
Oh, so?
So, I gotta make sure you're on the air, don't I? If you're not on the air, it looks bad for the network.
Well, but...
So, I'm checking if you're on the air. 1, 2, 3, woof, woof, hello, Max.
Now, Joe, just wait a minute. Just tell me one thing. How can you tell by woofing and yelling, hello, Max, if I am on the air?
Why, it's simple. Out in Jersey, on the 16th floor of our transmitter tower, sits Max.
And who is Max?
Well, Max is only the chief technician of the whole network, that's all.
Oh.
Yeah, Max is sitting in front of a radio. If he hears me, you're on the air.
Well, how can you tell if Max hears you?
Max will ring up and tell me.
Oh.
Then you go right ahead. 1, 2, 3, woof, woof, hello, Max.
Say, Fred, while we're waiting for Max's call, do you mind if I finish introducing you? I've got to get away.
Oh, go right ahead, Jimmy. It's all right.
Ladies and gentlemen, here
we
are.
Oh. That's for me. Hello, Max. Oh, you didn't, huh? Okay, I'll try again. Huh? The last race? It was Little Caporis by 4 lengths. No, I don't know what he paid. So long, Max.
That was Max, huh?
Yeah, he didn't hear me.
I didn't hear
him. 1, 2, 3, woof, woof. Hello, Max.
Wait, just a minute. My knowledge of radio mechanics may be limited, but there must be another way of finding out whether or not we are on the air. Now, can't we just call up Jack Benny's writers?
Brother, you're on the air when Max says you are.
Oh, and until then?
It's 1, 2, 3, woof, woof. Hello, Max.
Now, wait, chum, look. Not 2 minutes ago, 3 vice presidents gave me their personal signals. 4 technicians threw in switches. 5 lights went on saying we are on the air.
Look, pal, we're not getting nowhere. It's too hot in here to argue. It's too cold outside to picket.
So?
So? 1, 2, 3, woof, woof. Hello, Max.
Hi, fellas. What's going on?
What isn't going on, Kenny?
Woof, woof. Hello, Max. Woof, woof.
Hey, who's this guy with the dog talk?
Yeah. He's a big technician. He's trying to find out if we're on the air.
Oh. 1, 2, 3, woof, woof. Hello, Max.
Oh, I'll get it.
Hello, Max. Oh, you still can't hear, huh?
Has he got his radio plugged in?
Quiet, Stu.
No, not you, Max. Some jerk here just asked if you... he just asked if you got your radio plugged in. Oh. Well, plug it in, Max. One, two, three, woof, woof. Hello, Max.
Now, pardon me, Edison. Now, look, can't you just call up somebody outside who has a radio and ask them if they can hear us?
Listen, dope. Max is a graduate of 5 technical institutes.
Yeah?
15 years, Max has been studying frequency modulation.
Uh-huh.
12 diplomas Max has got for majoring in short waves.
So what?
So you want to take a layman's word against Max's? Oh, I'm laughing.
But now,
please. One, two, three, woof, woof. Oh, this is it. Hello, Max. Oh, you still can't hear, huh? Well, look, maybe an N52FDX shorted in the VIM condenser, huh? Has he got his radio turned on?
Look, buddy.
Hey, Max, that lunk here just said... Hey, Max, you know that little dial under the window of your radio? Yeah, the window with the numbers of the stations on it. Yeah, well, on one side of the dial it says off, and on the other side it says on. Now, to which side is it pointing? Oh. Well, turn it to on. Yeah, go ahead, Max. Hey, Max, what are you yelling about? Stop being so jumpy. When you turn the dial, a light always goes on in the window. Sure. Okay, here I go again. Poor Max.
Yeah, poor.
The responsibility of the job is ruining his nerves. One, two, three, woof, woof. Hello, Max.
Well, thank heaven Marconi didn't live to see this.
This is it for dope. Hello, Max. You heard it? Great work, Max. See you later.
Well?
You're on the air.
It's about time. Go ahead, Mr. Wallington.
And here he is, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And now, before anybody else can bust in here and say, one, two, three, woof, woof, hello, Max, we turn to a brief resume of the latest news of the week. The Texaco News presents a few brisk highlights from the world of news. Bear Mountain, New York, a peculiar animal, member of the deer family, is added to the zoological collection at Trailside Museum in Bear Mountain Park. Unusual quadruped, found grazing at roadside, baffles zoo curator and New York mammal authorities who have been asked to identify this ruminant freak. Texaco News interviews the ranger who found this forest monstrosity to get the real species lowdown for all America. Presenting, Mr. Buford Hike. Now, just what is your job, Buford?
I'm a forest ranger ranging out at Bear Mountain.
Oh, I see. Well, what about this unusual animal you caught up there, Buford?
Never seen a critter like it.
You don't say. Well, can you describe it for us?
No living man can describe that nature's mess.
Well, you can give us an idea. What was it like?
Well, sir, from a distance, it looked like a jumbo mouse.
A jumbo mouse, huh?
Yep, it was albino-colored with dirty brown spots on it.
Yeah.
Looked like somebody had shot at it with a water pistol full of peanut butter and missed.
That was from a distance. Well, how did it look close to?
The head was that of a stunted otter.
A stunted otter?
Mm-hmm. Out of the forehead hung 2 caribou ears.
Yeah.
And it had a short beaver neck with no Adam's apple.
Yeah.
And the body was a cross between a big mongoose and a bandicoot.
Well, how about the legs?
Well, the god darn thing had 3 antelope legs. The fourth leg was a puma paw.
A puma paw?
Yeah,
huh?
And hanging down in the back was no tail.
What? That was hanging down in the back, no tail, noticeably, huh? Well, what did you do when you had caught it, Buford?
I took it straight off to the zoo and set it down in front of the curator.
And what was the curator's reaction?
He took one look at the thing, jumped up and said, "The man who caught that is a liar."
Louisville, Illinois, wife of Clay County farmer, presents proud father with twins weighing 22 pounds. Case called unique in authenticated medical annals arouses nationwide interest. Texaco News interviews a neighbor of the happy mother to check on these giant twins. Presenting, Mrs. Wilkie Snipe. You know about the twins, Mrs. Snipe?
Yep, they sure are bulky babies, all right.
Bulky, are they? You've actually seen them?
I was there when the stork come.
And the twins weighed 22 pounds?
Yep. The stork had four eagles helping him. And a sparrow.
A sparrow?
The sparrow was carrying the safety pins.
Oh, I see. Beaumont, Texas. Innovation in boat launching technique proved success at local shipyards. New cargo boat, the Cape Lookout, is launched with bananas instead of the customary ship grease. Texaco News grills Maritime Authority to learn if the banana is to revolutionize all future launchings. Meet Captain Squall.
Heave ho, mates.
Well, you can drop your anchor anyplace, Captain.
Aye, matey, I will.
I see a cold night. You came out with a heavy anchor on tonight. Well, tell me, Captain, do you think the banana will replace the outmoded grease at ship launchings?
Lost my boom if the banana ain't put the skids on the grease for good.
Mm-hmm. Mighty slippery even to talk about it, isn't it? How did bananas work out when you launched the Cape Lookout at Beaumont last week?
Well, heave to, and I'll tell you.
Fine, I shall.
We took 7,000 pounds of ripe, juicy bananas.
Yeah?
We squished them up and spread this goo all over the hull.
Yeah?
Soon as the boat was bananaed, well gooed from prow to stern, I give the signal.
And?
The 400 men who was holding the boat let go. That's all, brother.
Yes, that was about all right there, wasn't it? You're very bad at forecasting, though. That was all. You were right enough about that. Well, the banana is making a big difference in Beaumont shipyards, I imagine.
Yes, sir. When you see a man in Beaumont with a banana today...
Yeah?
Nobody knows if he's going out to lunch or out to launch.
New York City, New York. The latest smash hit show to open on Broadway is Morse Hart's musical play, starring Miss Gertrude Lawrence, called Lady in the Dark. Critics strain at their adjectives, praising show and individual performances. And showmen predict Lady in the Dark will run a year. Texaco News brings you a digest version of this new smash hit show, Lady in the Dark. Lady in the Dark.
Oh, Mr. Bascom, really?
Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Kenny Baker comes from out of the nowhere into your ear, and the title of Kenny's song is based on a remark Gilbert made the first time he met Sullivan. Gilbert said, "We could make such beautiful music together," and they did.
Love songs together. Our hearts beat in tempo, the sound of our voices ring, the touch of our hands makes us sing, the touch of our lips will be magic. Lovely chords resound from the blend of a funeral. Ah, you and I and love are the blending of Bruno, no blue notes. Say the words that I long for. Let him be the theme of our song, for we could make such beautiful music together. We don't need a singing violin to thrill us. We don't need a thrumming of a heartbeat song. Neath the stars, the beauty of the night will fill us. We can make a symphony, that's all ours. Lovely chords resound. sound from the blend of a funeral. Ah, you and I, and love are the blending of true notes. No blue notes. Say the words that I long for. Let them be the theme of our song. For we could make such beautiful music together.
That was exceptionally well done, Kenny. Very, very well done.
Oh, say, Mr. Allen, I seen that good enough to get a sled.
What do you mean, a sled?
Well, Dennis Day is going to get a sled. Jack Benny's going to give him one.
Oh, I don't believe it.
All right, look at this letter I just got from Dennis. Read what it says right down there at the bottom.
Mr. Benny likes my singing so much, he's going to give me a present. He has promised me that the next time it snows in Hollywood, he will get an old grapefruit crate and build me a sled.
Boy, is that generosity.
It is in a mild form, yes. But all right, Kenny, I refuse to be outdone. If it snows in Hollywood, and if Mr. Benny builds Dennis a grapefruit crate sled, I personally will buy you the largest size flexible flyer that's made.
Gee, a flexible flyer.
Uh-huh.
That's a whole lot better than a grapefruit crate.
Oh, yes, Kenny. Even I know that. On this program, we appreciate the importance of flexibility. And that's simply because we have Larry Elliott here to constantly point it out to us. Would you mind just pointing once again, Larry?
Be glad to, Fred. People who drive a car north of the freezing line, and that takes in most of the country this time of year, are called upon for a driving skill that's flexible enough to match snow, ice, and uncertain weather conditions. And that sort of driving demands flexible power from a gasoline, too. The kind of surging, constant, yet flexible power supplied by Sky Chief, Texaco's different premium gasoline. Yes, that's what you really want for winter driving. Then you know you're in control, whether you're crawling through traffic at 4 miles or cruising the highway at 40. That feeling of Sky Chief power underfoot adds to your confidence. It takes hold quickly, gets you rolling fast. Your car responds to your every demand quietly and smoothly. Fly the highways with Sky Chief, your Texaco dealer's premium gasoline for those who want the best.
Goodman.
You know how the maestro only bends over a little way to take a bow? He's got one of those neckties, a four in hand, that hooks on in the front, and too much bending, the Adam's apple presses against the thing, and the tie comes off. He's very careful. So excuse a mild bow from the maestro, who has just completed Dark Eyes from his optical condition of the same name. And now, ladies...
Mr. Allen!
Oh, hello, Portland.
Can we use your microphone a minute?
We?
Yes. There's a lady outside, and she's all unstrung.
Well, string her and bring her in.
You can come in, miss.
Thank you.
Well, what is it you want, madam?
I have got to get to a microphone. It is urgent.
Urgent?
I have a message that will turn radio into a hive of futility.
Well, I...
My message will cause every swing band and radio to give itself up.
No kidding.
My message will force every radio tenor to quit.
And you want to use my microphone for this devastating announcement?
If I may.
All right. Just stay there, madam. I shall introduce you. Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies... Quiet, please. Ladies and gentlemen, stand by for a very important message. Go ahead, madam.
I have just had a henna rinse.
That is all?
That is all.
You say every swing band will give itself up, every radio tenor will have to quit, because you have had a henna rinse? Who are you, lady?
I was formerly Jeannie with the light brown hair.
Funny, I didn't recognize her. Well, it's that most everybody knows Jeannie by ear. You don't know her when you see her. But now look, Portland, the next time you come in here, I suggest that you emulate the bee.
The bee?
Yes, you know, when the bee goes anyplace, he leaves his wax outside. Now, you keep bringing these wax in here.
What's the wax?
Well, ask your mother. She raised enough of them. You know, there are more wax in your family than there are in a spanking. Do you know how many whacks there are in a spanking?
Nobody knows. You can't see to count them.
Why can't you?
Because your back is always turned.
Goodbye, Portland.
Oh, am I going?
Yes, you are. But before you go, introduce our guest, the Major Bowes Amateur of the Month, will you?
But Major Bowes Week is next week.
Major Bowes? Oh, that's right. So it is. Well, who is our guest tonight?
He's the most shaved man in the world.
The most shaved?
Yes. He shaves 20 times a day, and yet he's never completely shaved.
Well, who is this hirsute phenomenon, Portland?
He's the head electric shaver tester for the Schick Shaver Company, Mr. Norman Gray.
Well, good evening, Mr. Gray.
Good evening, Fred.
Portland tells me, Mr. Gray, that you, from the neck up, are the official proving ground for the Schick Shaver Company.
That's right, Fred.
And your job demands that you keep shaving all day long?
Yes, Fred. I test three different sorts of electric shavers. The present Schick models, experimental new models, and the models that our competitors are putting out.
Your competitors, you test those too. Well, I guess you're pretty happy after testing a competitor shaver if you can rush into the front office with part of your jowl gone and shout hooray at gouges, unquote. But tell me, Mr. Gray, I don't remember seeing the electric shaver invented in Edison the Boy or Edison the Man. Was it in, did Don Amici work it out in some other picture, did he?
No, Fred. Colonel Schick invented the electric shaver back in 1930.
Well, how come? Did Colonel Schick have a heavy beard and a lot of old kilowatts he didn't know what to do with?
No. Colonel Schick was up in Alaska with the U.S. Army. It was too cold to shave with soap and water, so the colonel thought a dry shave would solve the problem. He worked on the idea and finally brought out the first electric shaver.
Well, proving once again that necessity is the... of the what's this. Well, what is the principle? What is the principle of the chop attractor, Mr. Gray?
It's quite simple, Fred. The electric shaver consists of two slotted sheets of steel, one fixed and one moving.
Well, how is the potential goatee guillotine?
As the shaver moves along the face, the hairs are guided into tiny slots where they are sheared off by the inside shearing head that moves back and forth.
Well, that accounts for the subdued humming, then, the obbligato most shavers give out with each once over lightly.
Yes. It's caused by the speed of the machine. The inside shearing head makes more than 14,000 cutting motions a minute.
14,000. Why, that's almost as fast as my scenes were cut out of a certain moving picture. By a certain semi-bald comedian who stole into the studio and cut by taper light at midnight, they tell me. But excuse me, Mr. Gray, in a discussion that concerns hair, this party's name, of course, is entirely out of place. You...
I understand.
Thank you, Mr. Gray. Now tell me, how long has your face been giving its all to these chin landscapers?
I've been doing this work for 6 years.
Well, why has your face been singled out for testing? Are you just razorgenic? Have your bristles got the old AC and DC appeal or something?
No, my job is testing shavers, Fred. I have to use somebody's face, and my face is the handiest.
Well, suppose, now, for example, you have a busy day, and you use up your own face completely. Let's say that you have shaved it as smooth as a seal's hip. Now, how do you get some new fresh set of whiskers in a hurry? Do you send out an SOS for Paul Muni, or whom do you get?
There are 12 assistant engineers whose faces I use occasionally.
Oh, they always have a little fuzz on tap, huh?
Yes, these men are all instructed to come to work unshaven, Fred.
Well, tell me, how many shavers do you test in a day?
I may have to shave 20 times during the day.
Gosh, I don't know how you do it. Unless you come to work with a long face.
That isn't necessary, Fred. I never shave my entire face at one time. I only use a small square patch for each test.
In other words, you are shaving constantly from morning to night, and yet you are never completely shaved.
That's right.
Well, yours is the only life I know of where it's a case of hair today and hair tomorrow, too, Mr. Gray. But about your 12 fur-bearing assistants, do you use their faces every day or only when your own chin fodder is getting low?
I use them all the time, Fred. My face is useless for some experiments.
Why is that?
Well, all beards and all skins aren't alike. And we must be sure that our shavers are suited to all beards. I have the faces I work on classified into many types.
Well, would you say that my face fitted into any of your categories, Mr. Gray? Don't look at all of it. It'll do you in.
Yes, at a glance, I should say that your skin is the sensitive type.
Well, it may look sensitive, but after 9 years in radio, Mr. Gray, I have the skin of a water buffalo, which can be seen only at low tide, incidentally, if you want to check up. Well, it's been nice of you to stop in by tonight and tell us how we can keep Schick and Span and to give us the lowdown on your almost unique occupation. I guess you and Mickey Rooney are the only ones who can boast of similar careers.
I don't see the connection, Fred.
Well, Mickey Rooney also makes a good living, Mr. Gray. And like you, Mickey is nothing but a perennial shaver.
Wow. Good night, Fred.
Good night, and thank you, Mr. Norman. The Martins rehearse a song they're preparing for all folks who are receiving their income tax blanks these days. The number is Cheer Up.
Can't you see that silver lining? shining. You're not a millionaire, but you've got a smile to share. Cheer up, what's the use of being glum? So won't you cheer up, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Cheer up, cheer up, cheer up.
Excuse me, Mr. Allen. May I interrupt?
Yeah?
Has anybody here seen anything of a locomotive? It's a large locomotive with clouds of smoke simply swishing out.
A locomotive? I haven't, Jimmy. You know? Well, what do you want with a locomotive,
friend? You see, I am Rembrandt Van Twerp, the artist.
You volunteer this information, do you?
Yes, it's my name.
Yes?
And I have been commissioned to paint a picture of a locomotive roaring along with smoke. Beautiful smoke just pouring from its stack.
Well, can't you put the bite on one of the railroad companies for an old locomotive they might let you have with smoke coming out rampant?
Well, yes, but I've tried them all. You see, the only ones they have are diesels and electric locomotives.
Uh-huh.
I've got to find a locomotive with smoke coming out.
Well, I don't think we can help you on the premises. If there was an old bald one in here, but we put a toupee on it and got it out some months ago. But I tell you, Rembrandt, I'm sure if anybody listening in has such a locomotive, this I am saying in all sincerity, they will be glad to lend it to you, Rembrandt, just as anyone who has an automobile will be glad to lend an ear to Jimmy Wallington.
It's a thrilling sight to see a locomotive roaring along the tracks with its smoke trailing in the air. But when you're driving behind a car with a smoky exhaust, that smoke can mean trouble. For when a car smokes, the chances are it's due to excessive engine wear. Then a costly repair job is the only sure cure. So before your car becomes a smoker, help safeguard your engine against these three sources of wear that so often make cars smoke. Wear due to heat, wear due to cold, and wear due to oil impurities. Change now to insulated Havilland to help avoid the grinding wear of cold starts. For this motor oil flows freely at low temperatures. It stands up too under extreme engine heat, which can break down ordinary oils and accelerate wear. Insulated Havilland is also distilled. Carbon-forming impurities are removed. Remember, your car was never designed to smoke. Change now to insulated Havilland at your Texaco dealer. Help reduce excessive wear in your motor. Texaco Star Theater continues immediately after a short pause for your station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Keep an Eye on Your Heart, played by Mr. Goodman and his gas pump philharmonic, 15 men named Robert Welch. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Mr. Allen.
Who is it?
It is I, Goodman, excusing the interruption.
Well, what's on your mind, Maestro?
40 cents from you I would like to collect.
Well, I don't owe you 40 cents.
40 cents to Kenny Baker I am lending, against his salary and my good judgment.
Well, I am not advancing any more money out of Kenny's salary. 15 cents for bubble gum yesterday, 12 cents for good news the day before. Now, you go find Mr. Baker and collect from him direct.
To collect 40 cents, I should rent a bloodhound?
I don't care if you rent an old used retriever.
I should get a Sam Bernard, maybe?
You can get Singing Sam for all I care. You can put a leash on him and run around with him. You shouldn't have given Kenny the money in the first place. Oh, what's this? Come in.
Is this the Texaco Star Theater?
Yes.
I got 2 pounds of sugar here for the star.
Well, I didn't order...
A fella by the name of Baker.
Oh, of course. For a second, but only for a second, I forgot my place. You will probably find the star, Mr. Baker, backstage.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Come in.
I'm from the AMP with a COD.
If you're talking in code, mister...
I got four unsqueezed oranges here for Kenny Baker, COD 15 cents.
Well, just follow the other buxom fellow, and the sooner the better.
He delivering something to Baker, too?
Yes, sugar.
Thanks, honey.
Well, now I have been called everything. Mr. Goodman, I'm afraid that's where your 40 cents went, sugar and oranges.
Who paid for the honey?
The honey was on me. I'll scrape it off later. I wonder what Kenny is doing with sugar and oranges.
Mr. Allen!
Oh, yes, Portland. I
mean... Have you got a ball of twine?
No, isn't that strange? Now, I always have a ball of twine with me. I have buck teeth, and I use twine for dental floss. But just tonight, I didn't eat anything all night. I said I won't need my twine. I left it home in my old claw hammer, swallowtail coat, which I always wear weeks when we're not on the air. You see, I haven't worn it for some time. Well, tell me, what is it you want with twine?
Well, I've got to hang up the sign.
What sign?
It's for Kenny's orange juice stand.
What does it say? What does that say?
If Mr. Allen's jokes are dry, Kenny's orange juice you should try.
Well, does Kenny think he's going to sell orange juice right here in the studio while the program is going on?
Hey, Porty.
Yes, Kenny?
Did you hang up my sign?
I haven't any string.
Where do you think you're going to hang that sign, Kenny?
Well, Mr. Goodman is always standing with his back to the audience. If I can rent his back, I can hang it there.
Watch this. Goodman's back is getting a commercial.
Never mind that. Kenny, you can't sell orange juice during the program.
Why not? I'm all set. I've got the sugar and four oranges.
Four oranges? Why, there are 1,300 people here in the studio now. Suppose they all want juice.
Oh, don't worry, F.A. I've got a formula.
Yeah? Oh, I'll answer it. Hello? What? Gosh.
Who is it, Portland?
The water department. They say there's a leak here.
A leak?
There's 150 gallons of water missing.
It's the wrong number. Hang up, Porty.
Kenny, something tells me you know about this H2O.
What's H2O got to do with water?
Portland, tell the water department that we have discovered the leak.
All right.
Tell them it was caused by a little drip. Now, listen, Chief Running Tap Baker, a nephew of Old Running Water, a well-known Indian, who lived in Joe Miller's joke book for 200 years, they tell. Tell me, where did you get this formula of four oranges and 150 gallons of water?
But that's all a tank would hold, F.A.
Tank? What tank?
That big one backstage. You know, the one they used to use for sound effects on the showboat program.
I thought Captain Henry was living in that waiting for a sponsor. Did he get out of there? Look, Kenny, you can't sell that over-diluted bilge for orange juice.
You think I use too much water?
No, no, you're just one orange short.
Okay, I'll fix it. Mr. Analick, throw in a tangerine.
Kenny, who is that out there?
That's Mr. Analick, my partner.
Mr. Analick is sitting on the edge of the tank, stirring the orange juice with a ladle.
That's no ladle. That's my fife.
Mr. Goodman, if you are auditioning material for a spot announcement comedian that you've got, try other places. Don't butt in here with this inferior stuff. Kenny, how did this fellow Analick put you up to this mock orange juice business?
Mr. Analick is an expert on water.
Say, what was that splash?
Gosh, it's Mr. Analick. He fell in a tank.
In the orange juice?
It's okay. He's wearing water wings.
But your orange juice will taste of Analick.
Foxy Kenny. A new flavor he's inventing.
Porty, will you go help Mr. Analick out, please?
Sure, Kenny.
Kenny, how did you get mixed up with this limpid lumpkin, Analick?
Well, I met Mr. Analick on the battery.
Mm-hmm.
We were looking out at the ocean. Mr. Analick was skinning an orange. He pointed at the water and said, with this orange and that water, we can make a fortune.
Then what happened?
Then Mr. Analick asked me how much money I had.
And you told him?
I said I knew where there was 40 cents.
From then on, I, Goodman, was a marked man.
You please keep out of this, Maestro. Kenny, you'd better get rid of this Analick.
Everything is all right, Kenny.
Did you get Mr. Analick out of the tank, Porty?
Uh-huh. He's back on the job, dripping but stirring.
What took you so long?
Mr. Analick was diving for a cigar.
The minute Analik is dry, you get him out of here.
Now, please, F.A., Mr. Analik is very, very sensitive.
I don't care if Mr. Analik...
Mr. Analik is in again!
And it's your fault, F.A.
Oh, I'd better help him out again.
What is Analik doing, trying to commit citrus suicide? Kenny, you'll never sell a glass of that stuff now after what people have heard.
But Mr. Analik says if we get one stand started, we can float alone.
Analik already is floating alone. In the orange juice.
Oh, no, I mean float alone from the bank.
The bank, he says. My brother-in-law used to work in a bank.
What happened?
What almost happened? Again, they caught him.
Mr. Analik is out again, Kenny.
How are things going?
Fine. Mr. Analik is wheeling the tank outside to chill the orange juice.
Oh, boy, we're ready for business. Uh-huh. Mr. Goodman, I have great news for you.
I'll settle for 30 cents.
Because you loaned me the money to get started at only 8%, I'm going to show you my appreciation.
I'll settle for 20 cents.
What are you going to do for Mr. Goodman, Kenny?
I'm going to let Mr. Goodman drink the first glass of Baker Analik orange juices free of charge.
I'll settle for a bromo seltzer.
I'll be right back.
Say, if you drink that orange juice, Maestro, you will settle for the Mayo Clinic.
Oh, it can't be bad, Mr. Goodman. After all, it has four oranges and sugar.
And 150 gallons of water.
And Analik. Delicious.
Look, I'm going to put a stop to this thing before it...
Hey, F.A., have you got an ice pick?
What do you mean running in here? What happened?
Well, the orange juice froze.
Well, let Mr. Analik worry about that.
He is worrying. He's frozen in it.
What?
Up to his neck. Is Mr. Analik in solid?
Not with me, he isn't. And now that your assets are frozen, Kenny, you're out of business. You better forget the whole thing.
Well, all right, F.A. Here's your 40 cents back, Mr. Goodman.
Kenny, where did you get that 40 cents?
From four kids outside. I'm charging them 10 cents apiece to play hockey on the orange juice.
Did Mr. Analik okay the deal?
He was too busy. The kids are using his head for a puck.
For the first time in his life, Analik is using his head.
Oh, you can't say that about my ex-partner. Mr. Analik's dearer to me than my own brother.
Gee, Kenny, your own brother?
My own brother. That's for me. Come in. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Kenny.
Joe, are you dearer to me than Mr. Analik?
No.
So long, Joe.
So long, Kenny.
That was your own brother?
That's funny.
What's funny?
I haven't got a brother.
Well, this is a fine time to start thinking about it. We could have saved 20 seconds there. Go ahead now and sing your song.
Oh, I just remembered, Mr. Allen.
What?
I've got a sister.
Oh, now, look.
I should have said, Mr. Analik is dearer to me than my own sister.
Your own sister?
My own sister. Come in. Hello, Mabel.
Hello.
Mabel, are you as dear to me as Mr. Analik?
No.
So long, Mabel.
So long.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, was Kenny Baker's own sister. And now...
But, Mr. Allen, my sister is a blonde.
Mr. Goodman, please start the
And her
music.
Name isn't Mabel. It's Yvonne.
Mr. Goodman, would you please start your hurdy-gurdy outfit?
At Montmartre near Paris, where life is gay and free, a bright and airy dance you will always see. I'm French as French can be, and it is plain to see, I love romance and me, and they're always free. Girls wink and dance like toys, throwing kisses to the boys, glide and whirl just like coquettes, they are free from all regrets. As for the happy crowd, they all sing fa-la-la, dancing, whirling all night long, they sing this happy song. La-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Come in, my friend, and see our dancing in Paris. La-la-la-la-la-la-la. For life is gay, so sing and dance for la-la-la. La-la-la-la-la-la-la. Come in, my friend, and see our dancing in Paris. La-la-la-la-la-la-la. For life is gay, so sing and dance for la-la-la. Expanse, stars are gleaming over the night beneath, in sweetness beaming. Come, pretty maiden, look from thy lattice, love, Santa Lucia, Santa Lucia, as o'er the stream we glide, borne by the rolling tide, Santa Lucia, Santa Lucia. Friends and see are dancing in Paris.
La 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 la.
For life is gay, so sing and dance. La la la
la la la la la la.
Come in, my friends, and see are dancing in Paris.
La 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 la.
For life is gay, so sing and dance. La la la.
I can't pronounce. And now our special quiz, Fake It or Believe It. And here is our first contestant, minute quiz here. This young lady right here, what is your name, please, miss?
Petunia Sludge.
Your occupation, Miss Sludge?
I work in a freak show. I'm two of the legs of the four-legged girl.
Remind me to get your autograph later.
Yes, sir.
Miss Sludge, well, here is your first question. This is only a little quiz. We don't have cards. I'm giving you a question from memory. Now, what word of three letters stands for a sluggish, lifeless element?
Three letters, yeah. And it stands for a sluggish, lifeless element.
Quiet in the audience, please. No cueing, no helping from the audience. She's in a spot and she knows it. Come, Miss Sludge. What is the word? A sluggish, lifeless element in three letters.
I got it.
Good. What is it?
Man.
No, I'm sorry you missed, Miss Sludge. The word is dud. D-U-D, dud.
What's a dud?
Well, for further details, I refer you to Dr. James Wallington, M.D., Master of Duds. Duds cause a lot of trouble at this time of the year, don't they, Mr. Wallington? Or doctor, excuse me, I dropped your title there.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Wallington?
Indeed they do, Dr. Allen. Now is the time of the year when duds, the sluggish, lifeless elements in gasoline, get in their deadliest work. Duds slow up your motor's response in any weather. But when it's cold, when your engine depends on just a few ounces of chilled gasoline in your carburetor, those duds can hold up starting action, can put a serious extra burden on your battery. Now, with Texaco Fire Chief, you can be sure you're not getting duds. They're out, completely removed by an important step in Texaco refining. That's what's behind those speedy Fire Chief starts. It's smooth pickup and fast warm-up. For in Fire Chief, you get only the lively, responsive elements in gasoline. The ones that vaporize quickly, fire evenly, and give full economical power. Try a Texaco dealer and Fire Chief. There's not a dud in a tank full.
And now the Texaco workshop players. Tonight they take cognizance of the recent cold snap that gripped the country. While severe snowstorms harassed the east and middle west, southern area gloated over tropical weather it was enjoying. Flashes from the swanky winter resorts all told the same story.
Miami Beach enjoying banner season. Mrs. Biddle Diddle has open house.
Palm Beach enjoying banner season. Mrs. Biddle Diddle Biddle has open house.
Bermuda enjoys banner season. Mrs. Biddle Diddle Diddle Biddle has open house.
And so, for the benefit of the plain folks who haven't a biddle to their names, no biddle names, for you in the colder vicinity, quiet, we've got to rush along here. I know you're just sitting there waiting to let go, but we've got to rush it through. Time is all important in the industry. Now, for you, in the colder vicinities, ladies and gentlemen, who are unable to flee, a fine thing to broadcast to California, for you in the colder vicinities, who are unable to flee Jack Frost and take to a warmer clime, tonight we present a stay-at-home cruise. Lean back in your lumpy Morris chairs, folks. Forget the in the dump, dimpled upholstery. Forget the wintry winds and the nippy nods. Join us on an imaginary jaunt to the gayest winter resort of them all. Colorful, tropical Havana. Music, Alfredo. Havana, glamorous city of palm trees, coconuts, and eternal sunshine. As our boat, the SS Perfidio, number 7 on your hit parade, as our boat, the SS Perfidio, glides into the picturesque harbor, a lady tourist turns to the captain and says...
Is this the harbor, Captain?
Si, lady, si.
It's the sea, Merwin.
I told you!
As the SS Perfidio docks, and we stop at the customs shed, we find that most of the natives speak Spanish. Many tourists have difficulty with this foreign tongue. We watch the couple ahead of us as they prepare for the usual customs inspection.
Open up the bags, Harvey. Here comes the inspector.
Okay, Bueller.
Dispense me, senor. Americano?
Americano. Oh, yeah, yeah. We're Americans from New York.
The Bronx.
Don't be so specific, Bueller. We're from New York, mister.
Si, senor. Si hace siempre el camino del tobacco.
Huh?
Well, I guess he means our luggage, Harvey.
Oh, yeah, yeah, everything's here, bud.
Si hace siempre el camino del tobacco.
Huh?
Camino de tobacco, camino de tobacco.
Oh, tobacco.
Si.
He means are we sneaking in any tobacco?
Tobacco, si, senor.
No, no, I ain't got none. I don't smoke. I'm a coffee drinker.
Si hace siempre el camino de tobacco.
That's what he said before, Harvey.
This bum's got a one-crack mind.
Si hace siempre el camino de tobacco.
Oh, he's getting mad, Harvey.
Hey, look, fella, look, look. We ain't got no tobacco.
Who's
hey, hey, let go of my windbreaker, will you?
Santa Lucia, camino de tobacco, camino de tobacco.
Oh, thank heavens, here's a cop, Harvey.
Si, senor, what is the trouble?
What? It's this customs guy.
Yeah, he's menacing us in Spanish.
Camino de tobacco.
Yeah,
tobacco.
He thinks we're smuggling tobacco, officer.
I will find out the trouble. Que quiere usted decir?
Americanos, Bronx, se hace siempre el camino de tobacco.
Sí, sí. The custom man, he see you are from New York. He ask a simple question.
About our bringing in tobacco?
No, no. He say, in New York, is tobacco road still running?
From the customs house, we proceed to the Prado, a main thoroughfare of Havana. The Prado is a gathering place for tourists. English-speaking guides tug at our mess jackets, inviting us to take their tours. One persistent guide grasps us firmly by the nub of our trousers, and so we decide to sample his jaunt. The tour... he's just about to leave.
Okay, the tour is just starting, folks. Now keep your eyes peeled and your candid Kodak cocked. I'll tell this native chauffeur to give it a gas. Miguel?
Si, senor.
Pronto, El Texaco.
Si, senor.
You gotta speak them in their own tongue, folks, or they won't start. Now get ready, folks. The tour's underway. To your left, you see Havana's waterfront, folks. Deep sea fishing is the second largest industry in Cuba.
What's the first?
Digging bait. Now, that sailboat yonder is a fishing party.
Don't they use hooks and lines, guys?
No, the natives use only their native pipes, lady. Listen.
Hey, those are pitch pipes, ain't they?
That's right.
What kind of fish can they catch with pitch pipes?
Tuna, lady. Now, over here
hey,
on
look,
your...
guy. What are those native boys diving for?
They're diving for money, bud.
Yeah, but they keep coming up with those slips of white paper.
Things is tough here, bud. They're diving for IOUs. Now, over on your right, you see them beautiful trees. At this particular time of year, you can hear them trees whispering to each other in the breeze. Listen.
March 7th.
April 1st.
June 14th.
What kind of trees are those, guide?
Them are date palms making their dates. This is their making season, mister. Now, straight ahead, it is interesting. I happen to overhear you, mister. Straight ahead in that river, folks, is one of Havana's famous hat-making plants. 20 natives are busy making straw hats.
Well, where is everybody? All I can see is the river.
The natives weave them Panama hats right down in the river, bud. They're all busy working down under the water right now. I'll greet them. Hiya, boys. And now, folks, in concluding with our tour, we come to the Capitol building in the heart of Havana, modeled after the U.S. Capitol in good old Washington, D.C. The door of the Capitol is open. You can hear the parliament in session.
I make motion 8 billion centimos ancien oro.
I second the motion. 8 billion centimos ancien oro.
The bill is carried. 8 billion centimos ancien oro.
8 billion? Are they voting on a project, guy?
No, lady. 8 billion centimos is 15 cents.
What is that, ancien oro?
Old gold. Parliament men are sending out for cigarettes. Back home from our sightseeing tour, we join a small party about to take a trip through one of Havana's famous sugar plantations. As we enter the grounds, we hear the native sugar billies singing as they work in the fields. We stop to listen to the sugar billy.
Hand me down my sugar cane. Oh, hand me down my sugar cane. You can keep your sorghum, keep your beet, keep your glucose, though it's sweet. Just hand me down my sugar. Hand me down my sugar. Hand me down my sugar.
We hand the sugar billies down their sugar cane to shut them up and turn to gaze in sticky awe at the great sugar refining plant. We spend a pleasant hour watching the sugar granulators granulating and the sugar lumpers lumping. And we leave the plantation just as the sugar auctioneer mounts his stand to start calling his popular sugar auctioneer's chant.
Sweet sugar, sold in saccharine.
And so, leaving the sugar plantation with sweet memories, we plod our weary way back to town. As the fiery tropical sun plops into the placid, briny slop, we scurry to the cattle boat that is to bring us back over the billowy sea. Standing on the gangplank with our porter, we turn for a fond last look at the waving date trees. But near at hand, we notice two waving palms, and a voice from above these palms cries out,
Cheap skato americano. No triple poro, doggone.
And with the red cap fuming in the sunset, we say buenas, what's this, and fornotrant mañana to dear old Havana. And now from Larry Elliott, a message of importance to the music lovers of this entire Western Hemisphere.
This Saturday afternoon, two of the most popular gems of the opera world, Pagliacci and Cavalleria Rusticana, will both be broadcast from the Metropolitan Opera House in New York. In the cast, you will hear two young American-born winners of the Sherwin-Williams Metropolitan Auditions of the Air, Anna Kaskis and Leonard Warren. Pagliacci and Cavalleria Rusticana will be the ninth Metropolitan Opera Saturday matinee, sponsored by the Texas Company over another network of 211 stations reaching the entire Western Hemisphere.
Thank you, Larry, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us tonight. This is Fred Allen saying good night for the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast. Good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.